Now, Psalms chapter 91 this morning, Psalms 91, and say a few things. Yesterday, we had our men's fellowship breakfast. Last month, we had 25, and we had a lot of men. I know hunting season's going on, and we still had 18, and I spoke to the men yesterday about that. I spoke to them about living up to your name, living up to your name, and there's a lot of names for Christians in the Bible, and, you know, saints and a child of God. But one of the other names, or titles, one of the other names is a soldier. You know, every Christian is a soldier, and I talked to him about that a little bit. And, you know, we talked about when we look at it from the military point, and I was tying that in what I'll do today, you know, from the point of, and I told all the men there, like not all the men here or not all the women, well, there's women, veterans too, of course, at the men's meeting, it was just the men, but... you know, we're all, if we're saved and we're a child of God, and we have enlisted in the army, you know, the army of the cross, man, we're soldiers of the cross. And I pointed that out. And, you know, when I think about our country, and it was just something I wanted to point out to us, and I was trying to find, I got a video, and, you know, the one I showed you, and I was looking at videos and looking at other things, and you know, you get all kind of speeches and neat things are said and all. And I was looking at some of them. I saw some this one here, and I've you've probably seen this, and I've seen it in writing, and I've seen it in the videos as well. And it says this. It says, "It's the veteran, not the preacher, who has given us freedom of religion. It's the veteran, not the reporter, who has given us freedom of the press. It's the veteran, not the poet, who has given us freedom of speech. It's the veteran, not the campus organizer, who gives us freedom to assemble. It's the veteran, not the politician, who gives us the right to vote." You know, when I was looking at it, and that sounds good, and remember, I am a veteran too. Ain't none of that true. It's not true. We don't, it's legislation. The legislative branch of the military gives us the freedoms. It is the politician that gave us the right to vote. That was a national, you know, we voted it in. The veteran defends, protects the freedoms or the ideals or the, you know, and all that. We don't give it. I mean, they didn't come up to me when I went in the military. They say, hey, you know, what kind of laws do you think we ought to put on the books? For, you know, they didn't ask us those questions, right? You defend the law. So I just wanted to, you know, it sounds cool and all that, and all, but it's not true. You know, we you know, the veterans do a lot, but we're not writing law. They haven't asked us for that, but they tell us. And I told the men, you know, when you go in the military, you got Barney Fife was telling the prisoners on Andy Griffith when he had two prisoners, I think, came in, and he said, "Men, you know, here at the Rock, we got three rules, and the number one rule was obey all rules." That was it, right? So, you know, when you go in the military, this is what your job is: you obey what they tell you. You know, that this is what they say do, and this is where you go, and you obey the rules. And so, you know, I thought about that. Follow orders. We don't set policy when we went in the military. We are responsible to follow orders, and we defend our freedoms, and we defend all the rights that we have, but this is legislators. And on that note, would show the importance of voting and, you know, who you put in office, and people that we send to Congress are the guys that are going to write the laws, whether we like them or not. And, you know, so, you know, there's where, you know, we have to take, and I'm not going to do a political message on, you know, you ought to get out there and vote and put the right person in office, but that's where that comes from. And it does show the importance of what goes on as far as legislation and things go in the office. And so, you know, the title of the message this morning, I'm going to be in Psalm 91, and I got a title for it. It's focus, focus, focus. And I was thinking about this. When you get in the military, that's one thing you learn. Man, listen, you better focus. I had a really good friend. He was a Marine, and I was going in the Navy. He said, "Listen, let me tell you what to do, man. When you go to boot camp," he said, "I'm going to tell you what, pay attention." He said, "All you got to do is pay attention. They're going to tell you everything you need to know. Just listen and do what they tell you." So, man, I was dead focused because I didn't want to mess up, and I didn't want to get chewed out, and I didn't want to have to do any extra whatever they were going to make you do, from push-ups to potato peeling. You know, I didn't want to do it. But we're going to look here, and we'll try to tie this in with the text just a little bit. In Psalm 91, they think probably Moses probably wrote this psalm here. And it says, "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked, because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For He shall give His angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways, and they shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. And thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder, and the young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet. Because he hath set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high, because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him, and I will be with him in trouble, and I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word today. As we said, we are thankful for the freedoms we do have. We're thankful for the veterans here and those that have gone before, Lord, defending those freedoms that we have. And Lord, we just thank you for you. Lord, I pray that you speak to our hearts today. It's my prayer always, Lord, that we're person here, somebody may be here not saved, Lord, that they hear your truth, Lord, they'll trust you before it's too late. And those that are here and saved, Lord, I pray we'll be encouraged by your word. And thank you, Lord, for saving us, for loving us. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Well, Psalm 90, the one before this, is focusing on dealing with the difficulties of life. And in Psalm 91 is focusing on dealing with the dangers of life. Needless to say, I don't think that we have to, think too hard to think about the dangers that we have in life. I mean, driving down 81 is like taking your life in your own hands. I told somebody, I was telling the guys about praying with my wife. I wouldn't let my wife go out the house without praying for her, but certainly if she's going to drive on 81, we all need prayer in that area, right? But there's all kind of things, man. You see the world that we're living in. We've got things going on in Israel. We've got wars and rumors of wars, as the Bible talks about. We've got, school shootings and things, God forbid, but, it's the nature of the beast. I mean, churches. I mean, we have to protect our own self and things such as that, and we do. And but we see the world that we're living in. And, we think about this from a spiritual standpoint, and like I told the men there that weren't veterans, and a lot of us we're not in now. From the time that we were saved, we're in spiritual warfare. See, a lot of times, you want to be neutral on things, but you can't be neutral. I mean, listen, you're on one side or the other. There's no middle ground. You know what they say is in the middle of the road. There's nothing there but dead skunks and dead squirrels out in the middle of the road. There's not a neutral place. And so there's a spiritual warfare that exists. And listen, Satan did everything he could to keep us from being saved before salvation. And then now that we're saved, listen, Satan doesn't have to mess with you in certain areas before salvation. But once you get saved, listen, now he does everything that he can to take your testimony, to keep you from serving God, to keep you from being used by God. And I talked to the men about that yesterday as well, I believe. And so we think about that, and it's a spiritual battle, and if you've been saved any amount of time, you already know what I'm telling you. And Satan likes to do some things. I mean, he likes to keep us depressed, discouraged, defeated, disgruntled, distracted, disposed, and anything else that starts with a D that you could fit in there. He wants to keep us, the Christian people. I'm talking about the people that's already saved. He tries to just keep our mind on the negative thing. He tries to keep us focused on, you know, the glass being half empty instead of half full, and what isn't and what could be, couldn't, you know, can't be what we think maybe can't be. And so that's what he does. And so we see a psalm that was written here that's kind of the antithesis of that. This is the opposite. This is what Moses was trying to write there. I just got 3 points for you this morning. I knew we were having a few extra things going on and some things I didn't know about, but, you know, we had to take care of. But the very first point, we see the hidden life, Verse 1 and 2 of Psalm 91, it says, "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge, my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust." But I'm going to tell you something, if you should recognize that, that's words of praise right there, man. That's praising God. He talks about a fortress. He talks about a refuge, you know. And I think this about that. I think that we need to be, as God's people, there's something that'll help you above all things, is to be in an attitude of praise, praising God. Listen, there's a lot to be thankful for. You know, everybody check and see. You got a pulse this morning. You know, there's something to be thankful for. Are you breathing? You know, there's something to be thankful for. Listen, we've got a place to meet. You know, a good place to meet. We've got homes. So hopefully you have homes and we have food on the table. And so there's always something to praise God for. And I tell you what, that'll give you the victory over so many things. Things are like complaining is a catchy thing. You know what I'm saying? You ever been around somebody, you just in a happy mood, nothing's wrong, you just be bopping along, and somebody comes up and says, "Man, let me tell you," and it happens on the job, it happens in the military. When I went in the military, I'm going to tell you what, here, I went in, and there wasn't a draft. And when I went in the military and it wasn't a draft, so you joined up of your own accord. We hadn't even got through boot camp. And the guys were, "Man, I'm in the military, man, I'm in the Navy, man, this stinks, blip, 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 blip." What'd you join up for? You ain't even got out of boot camp. You ain't got a clue. Listen, boot camp's nothing like the rest of the service. All you guys know that. The boot camp ain't nothing like the rest of it. It was just, boot camp was probably the worst thing we did. Then we got out and found it was like. But I mean, here you are complaining. And what happened? Everybody else started complaining. You go on your job, it's like that. You're fine. You get to work, and before long, you're madder than that guy about what they complain about, and you get caught up. Well, I'm going to tell you something. Praise is the same way. Man, you start praising God, and you get excited about that, and it turns everything about. I think the most, it talks about the secret, in the secret place. He that dwelleth in the secret place, and this is what I want to say to you as a Christian. The most important part of your day is your communion with God, your private communion with God. The time you spend with God in prayer, in the Word of God, in communion with Him. I just encourage you, first thing in the morning, I'm telling you, don't put it off. But I think you need to start the day, and I think that's the best time. And but that part of your day is so important. And If you can't have private communion with God, I don't think you'll have public communion. You won't worship God here, even though you're here, if you haven't had private communion with God, you know, on your own. That secret place, that quiet place, that just time that you spend, however you do it, you know. Sometimes I spend a little bit of time, I'm just sitting there. I wouldn't call it prayer. I'm not reading my Bible, but I'm just like talking to God. And it could be in my mind. Sometimes it's verbal. Sometimes it is verbal. I talk with God. He said He's my refuge, my fortress. Fortress is a place of strength. It's a place of defense, but it's also a place of strength. It's a place of power. Man, this is it. It's with God. You know, we talk about praising God. Sometimes Sherry and I, you know, of course, being a pastor, I know it's hard for you to believe this, but sometimes there's a lot of things that you got to talk about, man. It's kind of like depressing things. I know you don't understand it, but there's things that can be discouraging things, and that we'll talk about it. You know, what about this? And we can go from one to the other to the other to the other. I mean, I'm ready to put some music on. I'm gonna trudge down the hall to the bathroom, man. I mean, you know, it's like, and we got to talking about it the other day. But you know what? She said, "We just going to praise God." I said, "Yeah, we'll praise God." You know what? We just start praising God. And we started laughing. And so then we got a little later, or maybe the next day, we started about, "Yeah, this happened, that happened." And then we were grinning at each other, and we said, "Yeah, we just going to praise God." We named off all the problems. We're going to praise God. But you know what? The attitude changed. Right? I mean, the whole attitude changed. And so, praising God, I mean, and there's always something to praise about. Listen, there's always something to complain about. Right? Some of you in here saying, man, it's cold in here this morning, isn't it? Huh? How many of you? Go ahead, raise your hand. Go ahead. Huh? You know what? Some, I don't know whether the air conditioner cut on. It feels cool. You shake my hand on the way out, I feel like a block of ice. That's all right. We'll just praise God, right? Jump up, Terry, if you cold, jump up every 10 seconds and shout hallelujah, praise God. And you keep doing that the rest of the service, you'll be warmed up. If you cold, do that. I mean, that's what I can tell you. But, we get our focus changed. And, you know, if we can't commune with God, like I said, and praise God in private, I don't think we'll be able to do it in public. And so we see, this hidden life, our hidden life, the part that everybody else doesn't see, and the time that we spend with God, you know, that's going to be it's a refuge, it's a fortress. Listen, it's going to equip you for the day. You don't know what the day holds. You don't know what the day holds, but I guarantee you this. The Bible tells me that Satan, our adversaries, walketh to and fro in the earth, seeking whom he may devour. Who's he looking for? The person that's not in the refuge, the person that's not in the fort, the person that doesn't have on the whole armor. He's looking for that person. He's going to get them. That's what he's looking for. He's there. I don't know what else the day has for you, but I know our enemy is there. So we've got the hidden life, and then the next one is that we see the protected life. Part of that is in verse 2, I think, with the fortress. But it says in verse 3, surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Man, here we are. Here we are. We've got one thing that you see right off the bat in those verses, that we're not alone. Huh? We're not alone, buddy. I mean, under the shadow of his wings. I'll get to that in a minute. It's probably out of place right there. Listen, God is with us. Man, you know what? We can focus on the promises of God. Do you know what the Bible says? I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. Huh? I mean, I like that. I mean, the fact that God is there. I mean, under the shadow of the Almighty. Man, I share this with you guys probably once a month or once every couple months, because I love it. It's in Elisha's servant. Huh? Man, I mean, there the enemy was out there, and Elisha, man, he's tinkering around, and the servant said, Master, what shall we do? He looked out and saw the enemy. Master, what shall we do? And Elisha just prayed, Lord, open up his eyes and let him see. I just picture Elisha just, you know, he's not even looking out the window. He don't even look at the servant. He just prayed, Lord, open up his eyes. And he kept on doing whatever he might have been doing. And the Lord opened up his eyes, and he looked out there, and Elisha told him, he said, they that be with us are more than they be with him. And he looked out there, buddy, and it was chariots of fire all the way around him. He couldn't see him before, but the enemy saw him the whole time. Huh? You know, a big old shadow, when the Lord's with you, and he's got a big shadow, if you could just picture it, wouldn't look this way, but and you're standing down there just a little old nothing, huh, and you're all worried about it. But the enemy looks and they see that big shadow on the ground. It's something a whole lot bigger than you standing around here. I mean, listen, man, there's the power, the shadow of the Almighty. And the enemy knows, they know. You may not, they may know before you know. Those ones in Elisha's, with Elijah and his servant, the enemy knew before his servant knew that God had put protection around them. I mean, man, listen, and the fact that we're under the shadow of his wings, it means he's right, he's near, you know, he's close to us. I mean, that's a protection thing. And that, and you know, in spiritual warfare, you think about that. There's nothing we don't have anything. I mean, there's nothing we can do. I mean, it's got to be God. It's got to be God. Listen, he can give us wisdom and those things. I understand that. But I'm just saying that God is the one. You know, God is the protection. We're under the shadow because God's right with us. And we got the providence of God. You know, the things that God takes care of everything, really, if we just put our trust and faith in him. When we all of us that went in the military, give you a little tie-in to the Veterans Day, we all went in the military. Boy, you know, one of the things about it was they gave you everything. Man, we went down there. I got the quickest haircut I ever got in my life. Didn't take 30 seconds, I don't think. And no, they didn't. Well, you know what I'd like is what I'd like for you to do is just cut a little on the. No, listen, man. Boom, da boom, da boom. Man, I think they had to grease that thing. That thing went off my head so fast, man. Everybody went. We got a haircut. We went down there, man, listen, we went down through there. They give you your duffel bag, and you go down through a line, and boy, you got pants, and you got shirt. They gave you your underwear. They gave you your socks. You had to put your name on everything. You had to put your name on everything. You put it all in your bag. We went down there. Boy, we got breakfast, lunch, and supper. Rednecks, what is it in the country? Breakfast, dinner, and supper, I guess. They fed us. We had a place to sleep. We had, you know, we had showers. We had everything. Took us on a little cruise. Went on vacation, Sent me. I went on vacation to Sicily for a year and a half, It was, float around on the water. It was great, man. Had a boat. We was on a boat. See, we got a cruise ship, right? We got, man. I'm telling you what, man. But they did. They, you know, everything was taken care of. You sent it over to the dentist. Got my wisdom teeth taken out. Didn't cost nothing. They did your dental work, your doctor work. You gave all your shots, and I mean all your shots, man. You know, we got all that. They took care of all that for us, right? Listen, man. God taking care of you more than that because it's the spiritual things. And the physical. Listen, God takes care of that too. You get the physical needs met and you get the spiritual needs met. You get all of those things. And you know, the thing about it is, and the fact that our captain, Christ, you know, I mean, we can put our faith and trust in Him. When I went in the Navy, when I got back from Sicily, I went on an ocean-going tugboat. It's the smallest ocean-going vessel that the Navy has. Wouldn't you know, that's what I'm going to get on. Smallest sea-going out. It was only 205 feet long. And our captain was a lieutenant. So these guys are young. They're out of the Naval Academy. Had a captain was a lieutenant. XO was a lieutenant. Had an ensign and a chief warrant officer. And that was all the officers that we had on board. And we got out there, man, and at sea in that small boat. And, I mean, there was times, honestly, I didn't know if it was a ship or a submarine, man. I mean, because it was underwater, literally. I mean, I would be at the bridge looking down at the deck, and the whole deck is underwater. I mean, it would come up. Thankfully, I'm here. It would come up out of the water. And I used to think about this. I wonder if these guys know what they're doing. Because I knew, I said, you know, they weren't a lot older than I was. I went in the service, I was 20, so I wasn't like the young, you know, a lot of them were 18. I was 20. These guys had been to the Naval Academy and graduated, and they weren't that much older than me. And I think, I wonder if they know what they're doing for sure, you know. But I know the Lord knows what He's doing, you know. I mean, I don't have to ask that about the Lord. I did have to ask it about that. And you guys that were in the military probably questioned the acumen of somebody that might have been in charge of you along the way. But boy, listen, man, He knows. Not only does the Lord know what He's doing, He knows what's coming. See, those guys that were leading us and we were in, they don't really know what's coming next. They may have an idea and all that, but. You know that old saying that it's like a mutually exclusive saying, Army intelligence, you know. They used to say that. But these guys, I mean, they might know, but the Lord knows. He knows what's coming. There's nothing that's going to take Him by surprise. We can trust Him. We can put our faith in Him. He's our refuge. He's our rock. I mean, man, listen, this is a protected life. Man, I mean, I'm telling you, there's, you know, I was 32 before I got saved. I was 32 years old before I trusted Christ. Went through the military, went overseas, did all that, came back. Thank God He kept me alive all that time because He knew one day I was going to get saved. But, boy, ever since then, it's just been a whole different outlook, you know, knowing whose hand I'm in. I mean, I get concerned about things, sure. Sure I do, but I know I'm in. We were praying about Israel, and I'm telling you, we should pray about Israel. I'm going to tell you what. That's God's people. He's got it. He's got them. He's got them. Nothing's going to happen there. And so, you know, we can praise God. We can focus on God. We can focus on God's protection. We can focus on His presence, you know, and we don't have to focus on problems. Just don't focus on your problems. We got them. Hey, you know, you can say, hey, I got a problem. Sure. Admit it. We know we got them. You know, we can say, hey, I got a problem. Don't dwell on that all day long. Huh? Just start praising God, man. Start thinking about God because you're protected. And then the last point that I want to share with you is the satisfied life. All the way down to verse 14 says the satisfied life. He says, now notice here, there's a change in how who's actually doing the speaking. We had the writer speaking, but when we get to verse 14, this is the Lord speaking. And he says, because he hath set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me and I will answer him and I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation right there. Boy, that's the Lord speaking back. And he's speaking back to a person of faith. And the reason that he says that with long life I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. Why? Because in verse 14 starts out, because he hath set his love upon me. When we set our love upon the Lord, I mean, he takes note. And he said, I'm going to be with him in a time of trouble. I'm going to deliver him. I'm going to honor him. With long life will I satisfy him with my salvation. That's the key. When we put our love upon him, and it says, I will set him on high because he hath known my name. And the Lord went on and tells us what all he would do for us. You know, when we went in the service, I think we talked about this yesterday a little bit too. We made a commitment. You're making a commitment. You signed the papers. I kept my contract the whole time I was in. We made a commitment to however many years that we were going to serve, and that's what we did. You know, we filled those things out. But and I was telling the guys yesterday, when we made that commitment, all our plans became secondary. They didn't come up and ask what our agenda was for the day and find out if we want to, you know, what do you got to do? We'd like to go on maneuvers or something if it's not too much trouble for you, you know, and if you don't have anything planned. But if you do, we'll back. Nah, they didn't do that. All our plans, Uncle Sam literally, I mean, they owned us. You know, we signed a contract, we got paid, and we did what we committed to do. That's the way we do that. And like I said, they provided medical, clothing, plate, sleep, everything we need. I told the guys, my company commander told me in boot camp, he said he was marching up and down there yelling at us, and, you know, they get you to focus. And he said, listen, for the next 9 weeks, I'm going to be your mama, your daddy, your brother, your sister, and your dog. He said, are you going to be tired of looking at me? I'm going to be right here every day. But you know what? He was looking out. He was training us so we'd be able to survive when we got out, wherever, whatever we had to do. Just listen to what they say. Just focus, listen to what they say. We did what we had, but we made that commitment. And listen, man, when we make a commitment to Christ, man, we made that commitment to love him. You know, love's the key. I mean, I can't say that. I mean, I liked my time in the Navy. I was proud of being in the Navy. I liked the Navy. I could have stayed in. I could have got out. And all that right there. But I can't say that I loved it like I love the Lord. You know, man, like that's the key. See, because love conquers everything else. You know, we'll do what, you don't even need a command when it's love. When you love it, right, you do it. You know, that's what it is. And so Uncle Sam made his promise and he kept it. He took care of everything he said he would take care of. A few little issues since I got out, but working on that. But we, you know, the Lord, he still didn't take care of us like the Lord does. He still didn't take care of us. And I'm going to tell you something. This is it. The satisfied life. There's no satisfaction apart from Jesus Christ. You can look from wherever to wherever, and I tried. That's why I wasn't saved till 32. I mean, I didn't have a problem with God. I didn't have I wasn't like an anti-God person. I believed there was a Jesus. I knew there was God. I knew he went to the cross. I just had never trusted him for my salvation, basically, because I didn't know what somebody never told me. But I believed in all that. But you run, and you're running here, and you're running there, and you're going here, and you're doing this, and you're trying that. Man, listen, alcohol, drugs, whatever, all those things that you can run into, entertainment, vacations, you know, living for the weekend. Man, that was my life. You know, got paid on Friday, probably about out of money on Tuesday, looking for Friday and the weekend so I could party the weekend away. And, you know, and that was, you know, that cycle of life. And was I satisfied? No. That's why I kept doing it. That's why you kept doing that. Remember the old cigarette commercial? Remember they had cigarette commercials on TV? I've shared this with you. Chesterfields, they satisfy. How come they come in a pack of 20? If they satisfy, you smoke one, you'd be satisfied, but you got to have 20. And some people be done with them by noon, right? They don't satisfy. None of that stuff satisfied. The satisfied life, man, is the life ever since I got saved. You know, ever since I got saved, man, down inside, listen, oh, I still enjoy things. I still, there's things in, you know, the beauty of the world, and, you know, we like to hunt and do all that and fishing and stuff and whatever we do and families, and we like all that. We do, but listen, the satisfaction is coming from knowing the Lord, knowing that we're under His shadow, as we spoke about already. Somebody said this, the doctor may add years to your life, but the Lord adds life to your years. That's the difference right there. As I said a few minutes ago, I went in the Navy. I went in for 3 years. Back then you could do that. I went in for three. And, you know, I could have stayed in, and I'd have been a good life. It would have been fine. I would have been all right probably with it. And I got out, and I don't have any regrets about that. I got out, and just the life went the way it was, and no regrets about it either way. But I'm so thankful that I trusted Jesus for my salvation. Amen. You know, that day that came around, and Pastor Woodard and some guys came to my house and talked to me, and I realized that I wasn't saved. I'd never asked Jesus to forgive me of my sins. I've never regretted that. And I would regret it if I hadn't have done that. You know, not regretted that. So I'm so thankful for my salvation. We've enlisted. You know, when you guys was in the military know this term. Y'all know what a lifer is? When you went in the military, you know, those guys that wanted it, we got it. We joined up on our own, and the whole time we were in, we couldn't wait to get out in a way. But we would look at the guys that stayed in for years, and we called them lifers. Ah, he's a lifer. He's a lifer. He's in for life. Well, when I enlisted in God's army, when I was saved and I enlisted in that, I'm a lifer. I'm a lifer. No regrets. I'm satisfied. The question is, what about you? What about you today? Have you trusted Jesus as your Savior? Have you put your faith in Him? Ask Him for forgiveness of your sins. You enlisted in His army. Be a soldier of the cross, man. And have you done that? Are you satisfied with your life? Listen, that's what God, you know, God will fill the hole. God will fill the void. Paul, if you'd come on up here and while I'm speaking here at the end, God will fill the void that's in your life. You can try to fill it with everything else under the sun. You can name everything in the world, money, position, power, you name it, pleasure, you'll still be empty. How do you know? I know experientially for a fact you'll still be empty. I'm living the satisfied life. So thankful for Lord saving me. If God spoke to your heart this morning, you need to be saved, you come as Paul leads us in invitation.
As we turn to hymn 19 and stand together, I'd like to thank personally all the veterans for your service in defending the freedoms that we take for granted so each and every day. May God bless you and your families for your sacrifices.